Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. The transfer window slams shut in 3 hours. So, let's have a chat about fantasy football and also Georgie Hadji's son. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm here with Alex tonight. How are you doing, Alex?
I'm doing very well. You know, it's been 13 months.
It's been a
while.
But
we haven't aged a day.
You haven't aged a day. You should see my back. It's been a while. It's good to be back, though. So we took a wee sabbatical from it. Lots of different things going on, but it's good to be back, and lots of things have changed. We're still... Well, I'm still atrociously terrible at fantasy football. You're having quite a good season this season, mind you.
Yeah, not bad. Do you not think it's been easier this season to just choose your players?
Just pick three Liverpool players and hope for the best.
Yeah.
It's pretty much been it, let's be honest. So, as of this season, what's your overall points just now as we stand, Alex?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me bring it up here.
Yeah, stay up on the screen, that's sure.
I'm currently sitting on 1305.
Oh, I'm saying I'm terrible and I'm at 1339.
We're in a rather large league. It's about 24
yeah.
players.
Yeah,
or something.
24 head to head. But the overall score of it, a decent
yeah,
one.
You're amongst the top three, I think.
Overall, yeah, but not in head to head just because life is pain. I just had my triple captain last week as well with Trent in the Liverpool double game week.
Yeah, I've still got a couple of tricks up my sleeve, as far as that's concerned.
I've still got all my tokens bar my triple captain left.
2 weeks ago, I made drastic changes because Vardy got a hamstring injury, so I kicked him out right away, and of course, he's back playing already.
Aye, but as we were talking before we even started, Leicester's form is iffy just now, so I don't think it's a terrible spot to have Vardy out your team.
I think... They had a defeat before the Liverpool and Man City, I think it was Norwich, and then they've had a defeat since then, but won the rest.
I mean, the typical Brendan Rodgers form against Man City and Liverpool, where Brendan decided to go out and keep the exact same team and try and play the exact same way against two of the best teams in the world. As a Celtic fan, I know that pain of getting beat 7-0 by Paris Saint-Germain in Barcelona. I remember talking to you during those games as you put the Barcelona -6 bets on and things
you've
like
just,
that.
You've just reminded me that next season when Leicester are in the Champions League, I've got to look forward to.
I cannot wait. I'm going to laugh so hard when Paris Saint-Germain spanked them about 5-0. Ben Chilwell was just running around in circles looking at Neymar, wondering what's happened. But anyway, we have to talk about fantasy football. And as I said in my wee intro, the transfer window for the English Premier League slam shut at 11 o'clock tonight, so we're recording around about 8 o'clock, so there's 3 hours left. I spent some time today just going through some of the key transfers that have happened to have a look at the players and whether there's any fantasy value in them. Now, we're not going to look at every single transfer, because if you're expecting me to sit here and give you analysis on whether Jack Rodwell as a good signing for Sheffield United, you're crazy.
You have no idea who he is.
Yeah, well, I know who Jack Rodwell is. He was actually linked to Celtic at one point, but then again, most of England has been. So I think what we'll do is we'll start with the big ones and then give some honourable mentions at the end of players we think it might be worth keeping a lookout for, and also players we think it might be best to avoid. So I think where we start here, Alex, should be Bruno Fernandes to Manchester United. 47 million rising to 65 million.
It's a phenomenal amount of money, but that's the way the game is now. Thank God he's not that much in fantasy football.
Well, we don't know how much he is yet in fantasy. I'm going to have a wee look and see if they've put him on yet, but I don't imagine they will have. But he should be eligible to play in the next Manchester game. So if you were signed by 11 o'clock this morning, you were eligible to play.
I think this guy will get games.
I mean, without a doubt.
Listen, it's the players around them that's the problem.
Well, the league's a basket case this season, but Fernandes, 25-year-old, Portuguese, attacking midfielder, I mean, there's 233 senior appearances, 67 goals, 14 assists, so he's not a goal or assist every two games, and he's in awesome form this season.
Yep.
So he's doing really, really well this season.
And I think he's going to want to get in there right away and prove himself, you know.
High expectations. High expectations.
I've got good expectations for him, but it's the team around him that's going to let him down, I think.
Potentially. But you've got, especially with Rashford being unfit. We've seen Man United today have been running around like headless chicken trying to sign a striker. So far today they've been linked with Josh King from Bournemouth. And they've also now been linked with Odion Ighalo, who played for Watford two seasons ago.
We're talking about Manchester United here. We should be looking at Neymar and names like that, you know.
But if you were Neymar, would you sign for Manchester United?
No, I wouldn't, but Manchester United are meant to be the richest or almost the richest club in the world.
They pretty much are. And in fact, I think they actually still have got one of the biggest revenues. But they've signed Fernandes now. That's been an ongoing saga. I think he'll do well in England. He's been wanted by other clubs. There's talk of Barcelona were looking at him. Tottenham were also looking at him. An attacking return every two games. High expectations. But he's got experience in Serie A and the Portuguese league. The Portuguese league is a step up to the English league. But I suppose we'll see how it goes. But I would say he is one worth watching and potentially putting in at some point.
If Manchester United will hit some kind of form, but it's too patchy, so therefore I'm very reluctant to have anyone on my fantasy football team from Manchester United.
I am not putting him in just now, and the only Manchester United player this season that I would actually consider having in my team was Rashford, but he got injured, which sucks.
I had De Gea, but I hardly ever played him, so I got rid of him.
So, isn't to see from there, but it's one worth a watching, in my opinion. Another one that I think is potentially worth a watching, and we can talk about two transfers at this point, is Kyle Walker-Peters, who has moved to Southampton from Tottenham, right back. And this also lines into the Cedric Suarez transfer to Arsenal from Southampton. So Cedric Suarez was Southampton's backup, and right back.
Danny Rose.
He's the other right back that's moved as well. Right.
I mean, Kyle Walker-Peters, I don't rate as highly as Danny Rose, so I don't know what Spurs are thinking about.
It's Mourinho, isn't it? That's just one of those things. I think Kyle Walker-Peters will get a lot of game time at Southampton. He needs the game time, that's why he's going out on loan.
Yeah.
He's obviously not overly fancied by Mourinho, but that Southampton team are coming onto a game. The 9-0 defeat by your Leicester is probably galvanised them somewhat, and I think it was a good decision by the Southampton hierarchy not to fire Hasenhüttl after it.
Yeah,
because they could easily have fired him after it. That's the sort of result that gets the manager a sack on a regular basis. But they took the stance that no, it was the player's fault, and they kept him, and they seem to have turned it around. They're like 10th, 11th or something just
now. Their form was like, I think that 9-0 was the kick up the bum they needed.
Somewhat, yeah. And I think the big thing about it as well is Danny Ings with them has made a major impact. And just when they're hitting that bit of form, they're 9th actually in the league.
Yeah.
So they're doing incredibly well.
Better than you thought.
Better than I thought there too. Excuse me. Suarez goes to Arsenal, who's left Southampton, who plays the same position. He's going to be covered for Bellerin at Arsenal, I'm pretty sure. But he's got loads of experience. He won Euro 2016 with Arsenal.
Yep.
However, I'm not rushing to put him in my team. However, I will give strong consideration to Walker-Peters in that. The other one, as you said, also lines in there with the full-back merry-go-round was Danny Rose, who has left Newcastle and signed... Sorry, he's left Tottenham and signed with Newcastle after saying that no matter what happened, he was never leaving Tottenham and he was going to see his contract out, but that's neither here nor there. That's not for me to talk about.
He's
a good player.
Yeah, he is a good player, and he's quite good going forward as well. So, aye. I mean, when Tottenham had that really good season, they finished second behind Leicester. He must have been really good. I don't know if I had him in my fantasy football team back then. It's too long ago. My memory's too short. But he must have got quite a lot of points that season.
I think the key to this one is whether Newcastle can keep clean sheets. They are a football team who doesn't play football. Yeah. It's probably the best way to describe Newcastle. It seems to be that they've got the opinion that if we try and play football, we'll just lose. So let the other team play football and hope they make a mistake.
And often they do.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting. I mean, you just need to look at the great comeback against Everton for Newcastle the other day.
Yeah,
so we need to see. I just don't think that he'll get enough assists at Newcastle combined with any sort of clean sheets to make him a viable defender for your team. I just don't see it.
No, again, it's a case of the rest of the team letting him down.
I think with the three on the right wing, the right back merry-go-round, I think Walker Peters is the best prospect of those three for your team. And it's totally dependent on his game time and whether he can hit the ground running as well, because he's out of practice.
Do you know, I've actually got three Liverpool defenders in my fantasy football team just now.
They're the only team that's consistently kept clean sheets, and it took them a while to do that as well, because they didn't keep a clean sheet for like the first 10 games or something like that.
Yeah.
But they've also got good attacking returns. That's the one shining light of getting your fullbacks in. There's potential of attacking returns for them, I suppose.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of just keeping an eye on. But I think, in my opinion, for what it's worth, as a crap fantasy football player, Kyle Walker-Peters is probably your best shout out of the ones.
Well, you never know, there might be something comes in the next, 3 hours?
You never know, you do never know.
Well, four hours, it's 3 hours to Brexit.
True. And you never know, Man United might try and sign Lee Griffiths or something, that's the way it's going. So
why not Neymar?
I'm assuming, well, to be fair, what they're looking to do is bring somebody in for a 6 month loan. That's what they're trying to do, so that's why they're looking at players like Odena Gallo and looking at Josh King, etc. But it's Man U, it's mental.
When you look at the teams they've played in recent weeks, it's so young. Aye. You know, they brought guys through their system.
I think Greenwood's hurt as well.
This is no classy 92, you know.
It's quite funny if you go to the Man U team for transfers in fantasy football and it's just red exclamation marks everywhere with all their injuries. It's pretty poor. So the one transfer that I think is probably most excited me, other than Fernandez, it would be Steven Bergwijn, that's signed from PSV to Tottenham. £27 million, wide forward. This season he's getting 19 attacking returns in 29 games,
which is very good for him.
But it's Dutch league. Now, I'm not here to slag the Dutch league. I watch Scottish football. So
he's a Dutchman.
He's a Dutchman in the Dutch league. He's
Don't knock it. Ajax, you know.
I mean, Ajax PSV. He's won the league with PSV a couple of times. He looks good. It's a matter of how Mourinho plays him. But with Tottenham's injuries, similar to Man U's injuries, I can see this guy definitely playing. He's been signed for a reason.
He's in form and he's experienced.
Okay. So,
and I think he's probably bloody good.
As we were quickly saying beforehand, it's whether he becomes the next Vincent Janssen or whether he becomes the next Luis Suarez. I think if he lands somewhere in the middle of those two, he'll do quite well. But I've got a mate in work that I sit next to, he's a big Tottenham fan, and he's got the fear of him becoming the next Vincent Janssen, but I don't think he will. And I think £27 million for the club is a good bit of value, especially if he does turn out to be good.
Yep.
And from a fantasy point of view, he's got some very good stats that would imply that he could be an attacking return every second game, maybe every game and a half if he continue his form over. Maybe not this game week, as you've got Spurs playing Man City, but they've got some good games coming up. Spurs, they've got Aston Villa, they've got Chelsea, which I think they'll be up for because it's a must win. Then they've got a couple of mid-table teams like Wolves and Burnley, so they've got a chance of getting some attacking returns.
They have got the chance with these easier so-called easier matches, but I'm not convinced at all by Spurs this season.
No, they're a terrible start, and Mourinho's somewhat steadied the ship, but there's probably issues amongst the squad, and I think one of the issues amongst the squad was Danny Rose, and he has now moved on, so that probably could make a difference to it, because I know he was saying that he wasn't very happy that he wasn't getting a new contract. So if he is having a bad influence, it might clear the dressing room up a bit, but losing Harry Kane is a massive loss to them. Huge.
It is, definitely. Even although he's not the same player he was 2 or 3 years ago.
He's had a few injuries.
He plays a different role now, I think, as well.
This Dutch boy doesn't play centre forward from what we saw. I feel it'll be Son that's going up front, or Moura, and that's who he'll be supplying to for it. So I think we should just cover a couple of quick, I wouldn't say non-entities, but good signings that probably aren't going to have a major impact in fantasy. Sander Berge to Sheffield United for $22 million. Looks like a great signing for them, but he is a holding midfielder, so the chances of him getting any sort of attacking returns are very, very low. This was the big question, is whether or not he displaces Lindstrom in that team, with Lindstrom's contract being up at the end of the season. I can't answer that. And
they're not going to keep Lindstrom.
But I think this is one where we need to just look at and say, does Lindstrom get dropped? And if he does, it's time to cash in on the savings account that has been Lindstrom.
Yep.
We've got Pablo Mari coming into Arsenal from Flamengo. Won Brazilian Serie A last season, played in the Club World Cup against Liverpool. Former Man City youth player. He's the only centre back that Arsenal have got that's got a left, that's left footed, but the question becomes, was he going to even play, and he'll need to adapt to the Premier League?
The answer is, who knows?
Who knows? But
to be honest with you, he's probably quite an interesting player to watch. These Brazilians usually are.
Yeah, and he's somebody that I will watch, and he could cement a place down, so I think the centre backs at Arsenal, let's just say they've not covered themselves in glory this season. So it could be interesting to see if he lines up alongside his countryman with David Luiz. And it could be quite interesting to see how he does with that. We've got Jack Robinson moving in Nottingham Forest to Sheffield United. He'll be a squad player. Unless something insane happens, I don't see there being any much point in any chat about him. I think he's going to make a few appearances.
Yeah, Forest are obviously doing pretty well in the Championship, yeah. So... they're not going to let go of one of their best players right now.
These can come back and slag me when he becomes a world beater. Gedson Fernandes went to Tottenham. He's a holding mids. You look at his stats, he gets an attack and return one every 10 games. He's not fantasy material, I don't think.
No.
But I do genuinely believe he's a very good signing for Tottenham. And we've also got Lucas Rupp, who's went to Norwich, who just doesn't inspire me. Midfielder / fullback, not huge attacking returns. And it's Norwich. However, he could easily prove me wrong.
Norwich. They play so well, but the results are...
They play pretty. But playing well involves winning, in my opinion. Danny Drinkwater on loan to Aston Villa. You seem to have a better opinion of Mr. Drinkwater than me.
I'm not so sure if it's necessarily him, but I think him and Grealish could have a nice wee partnership.
There's definitely potential there, but I watched them get tore apart by Kevin De Bruyne in his first game, and I don't know if he'll ever recover. But we'll see. And that leaves us with just a few more to talk about that there actually is some potential of. So we'll start just having a quick look at Aston Villa's two, let's say, big transfers that are covered mainly for injuries, though. So they've brought in Pepe Reina in goals from AC Milan.
As the guy who's playing for them just now,
the Norwegian boy, isn't it?
Yeah, he's had a couple of really good games.
Played two really good games against Leicester.
Yeah, brilliant.
And they've also brought in, and I apologise for butchering the name, Mbamwa Samata from Genk for $8.5 million. So I think Pepe Reina is likely to play over the goalkeeper they've got just now.
Yep.
And I believe Samata has been signed to play up front. If there's any two ways about it, they've got a major injury problem up front. So Samata's stats this season, 29 games, 10 goals and 2 assists for Genk, but he did score against Liverpool in the Champions League, which is no mean feat.
Yeah.
Whether he is, I think he could be a potential third choice striker for you, depending on how your team's set up. Uh-huh. If you're going for two premiums and a third for your bench,
you think he'll be a low priced striker?
I think he's Aston Villa. I don't see him being hugely priced, and if he is, I think they're probably over-egging things a bit. He's a 1-3 attack and return striker potentially in the Belgian league. I think if he comes in at a crazy price, it would not represent good value for your fantasy team. But if he comes in at a very low price, potentially 5.5-6, he might present good value.
A sheet filler.
Yeah, depending on how your team's built. Some people like to have three premium strikers. Some people like to have that one striker that they know they can rely on. He occasionally get a goal and come off the bench when he has to.
Yeah.
So that's what that comes down to. And I think, as good as I think Reina is, I just don't see there being many clean sheets there for him.
No.
He's probably...
But, here. I mean, now that Villa have reached this Wembley final,
yeah,
not the League Cup, you know, it's going to inspire them to
hopefully, man,
play better, I think, you know, because they'll be wanting to get picked for this final.
These things happen with the clubs that are facing a relegation battle. The cup becomes like a distraction to them. Like, look at Wigan winning the FA Cup and getting relegated in the same season. So it's interesting they've done it.
Grealish, I have to add in a wee point about him. He's an absolutely fantastic player.
Yeah.
And he stands alone in that team.
He's brilliant. He's in my team just now. And we will... And obviously, I don't care if he gets picked for England. Anyone who's listening to this podcast can hear mine and yours accent.
I don't think he'll beat Villa for long. I think he's going to go onwards and upwards.
I think if
Herbert's a player that Man United should have bought.
If Villa stay up, I think he might stay for another season. I think it all depends on whether Villa survive or not in the league. Next player we'll have a quick look at is Cenk Tosun. He's went from Everton to Crystal Palace. He's already scored a goal since he's moved over on loan, and this is probably his last chance to do something in English football. Excuse me, having moved in for Turkish football.
Yeah.
He just doesn't fill me with confidence, though.
No, really, when he first came into Everton, I think I toyed with him as far as fantasy football's concerned for a wee while, and then nothing happened, really.
I know what you mean. He has runs where he looks as though he could be a good player. Like, he looks as though he could be somebody that could do something. And at 5.7 million, he's injured for a couple of weeks, though, so he's not going to be back until the end of February. But at 5.7 million, he could also fit that nice third striker on your bench sort of thing.
Yeah, I've not really... How are Crystal Palace doing in the league? I've not really been following them.
Like everybody else, they're average. Yeah. I mean... It's
stuck
a really
30 points.
It's a really weird league this year, man. They're 6 points off the Europa League places, but they're like 6 points off relegation. It's pretty mental this season, the way it's going.
Yeah,
so,
the team's from 5th to like 17th.
So they're 4 points.
They have a couple of wins each other.
They're 4 points behind Man U, but they're also 7 points ahead of Bournemouth. So it's, they'll be fine. It's Roy Hodgson. He'll get them out of the line, and nothing spectacular will happen, however. One that was an interesting signing that's come through, and it's a Norwich one, was Ondrej Duda. And I have no idea if I'm saying that remotely correctly. He has, this season in the Bundesliga, he's not played since December. He scored 11 goals and 6 assists. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be my dark horse signing or anything. It all depends on how he plays in at the Norwich system, but he's got the potential of being a like Pascal Gross or something along those lines. My concern is Norwich are just fighting a relegation battle. But those stats for somebody that's coming in,
they're good.
It's quite good. If you're a player that 11 goals and 6 assists so far, it'd be decent.
I'm wondering why he's took a step backwards, really.
I'm Farkas German, so he probably knows him, and there's probably a reason he's not playing since December, whether it's he's sort of fallen out of the club or whatever.
Yeah.
And a lot of these players get agreements with their agents. They'll go for 6 months, and if it happens that they get relegated, they'll have release contracts, etc. in there. There's a couple of other ones we'll just quickly cover before we go for a break. And then we will discuss our teams for this week. Watford have signed Ignacio Pacetto from Udinese.
Is that not a bottle of wine?
It's a lovely red. All I would say is Watford and Udinese have the same owners. He has 5 goals and 50 appearances for Udinese. Oh, sorry, in CI, so I'm not going to go crazy about it.
No.
West Ham have signed Thomas Souček from Slavia Prague. Now, any research I've done to him describes him as a defensive midfielder, but he's got 12 goals and 26 appearances for Slavia Prague this season. So he's in really good form, but to me it's a huge step up from Czech League to the English League. And
yeah,
it's
I would imagine Slavia Prague, obviously it's a team for the capital city, so I'm guessing it's like, you know, a one team league, really.
I don't think it's a one team league, but Slavia Prague are one of the biggest teams in there. However, he's going to West Ham. It's West Ham.
Yeah.
Nothing inspires you about West Ham like
David Moyes.
David Moyes.
That's the most inspiring thing about them, and that's tells you everything you
need to
know.
I still love the fact that in the Football Ramble they describe David Moyes as the ferryman, and he comes in and ferries your team nice and safely into the Championship. And there's a very good chance that happens this season. Daniel Podence has signed Wolves from Olympiacos. Follows the Wolves transfer strategy. He's Portuguese, he's relatively young, £16 million. 27 appearances with 5 goals and 5 assists this season in the Greek League. It's a big step up. It is a big, big step up.
It is.
So we'll need to see how that goes. We've seen players come in for the Greek League and struggle before. Pretty sure any Fulham fans will tell you about Konstas Mitroglou and his horrible transfer. I've left two strange ones to the end. Sheffield United have signed Rosario Zivkovic from a Chinese team, which I'm not going to try and pronounce because I can't even pronounce the player's name.
Changchun Yaitai.
Aye, let's go with that, mate. 23-year-old striker. It's a loan deal. I'm assuming they'll have a right to purchase at the end.
What if he's got this virus?
I think he's fine. I'm sure they check that when you come into the country now.
I bet it can take 2 weeks to appear.
Gives you pneumonia. I've survived pneumonia. It's fine. Manager seems to think he's pacey and will give them something different when Chris Wilder was interviewed about it. Dutch League's his highest previous, and he's roughly a 1-in-3 striker when you look at his overall career stats. It'll be interesting to see what happens with him, because Sheffield United have struggled with strikers, and they've got McGoldrick, who's not been able to score all season, and they've got Ollie McBurnie up front. Now, every team who's McBurnie's played for, whether it's Swansea or Sheffield, love him. As a Scotsman, I don't. That's all I can say. But
what's it got to do with being Scottish?
Because I've watched him play for Scotland, and it's horrible to watch. Now,
do Scottish people watch the Scotland team?
A watch is a strong word for it. Sear in the corner and bite my fingernail so I don't scream at the telly. Steve Clark might get a song out of Ollie McBurnie, to be fair. If I was playing under Alex McLeish, I don't think I'd be overly inspired. And the last one we'll quickly look at is another Newcastle one. It's Nabil Bentaleb. Many people will know the name.
Again, the name looks as if it's written backwards.
Played for Spurs previously, 2.5 seasons, scored 66 appearances previously for Spurs, 2.5 seasons at Schalke, scored 19 goals in 97 games.
I cannot
games.
Remember this guy.
Oh no, he definitely played for Spurs. It was during, who would it have been? Christ knows. Going to say the Sherwood sort of era at that point. I don't believe he played under
Bale
Poch.
Alongside Bale,
potentially. I don't know if he ever played alongside Poch, but he's had some, let's just say, disciplinary issues at Schalke. He played for Tottenham between 2013 and 2017, so he will have been there when Poch was there. I'll be interested to see how he does at Newcastle, trying to get his career back on track probably after his issues at Schalke. And that's our quick roundup as of roughly 8:15 on transfer deadline day. And let's leave the rest of the transfers to Jim White, because I'm sure he'll be on Sky with his lovely little yellow tie, jumping up and down like a madman, waiting for the transfer window to slam.
What's that
slam
all
show.
About?
It's Jim White, Joanne.
Let's overhype something.
Right, guys, we'll be back in a couple of seconds, and we're going to just discuss our teams for the upcoming game week.
When the opponent has the ball, you have to part the bus all the time. Because if you don't concede goals, you have more chances to win.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, after those dulcet tones of Jose Mourinho telling us about parking the bus. So we're going to have a quick look through our fantasy teams, basically, for the upcoming game week. Why we're picking who we're picking, and whether we're taking a hit or whether we're not taking a hit, and any games that we think there's particular points available in, or particular points that will score a lot of points. That's great English, Michael. So let's start with the quickest position here, Alex. Goalkeeper, who you got?
Right, well, at the moment I've got a choice between Guaita and Schmeichel.
So Crystal Palace or Leicester. Crystal Palace playing Sheffield United.
Yeah,
and Leicester playing Chelsea.
So Crystal Palace don't usually let in many goals at home anyway, and I think Chelsea might score against Leicester, so I think I'll go with Guaita.
Cool. I've got Henderson. which is, we're going to be hoping for a 0-0 in that game collectively here. I've also got Rui Patricio. I think Wolves will beat Man U. I think that's one of the safer bets, but I can still see Man U getting a goal against them, so I think I'll be picking Henderson for my game.
No one knows what Man United are going to do from 1 week to the next, but Wolves have been good this season.
Wolves have been good. I mean, obviously we're looking at our teams here, we're not saying who the best goalkeeping choice in the world is, it's who our teams are. I think if you were going to go out and you had a free choice at any goalkeeper, you'd be looking at Alisson for Liverpool.
Schmeichel's done well for me this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's if you weren't limited to three Liverpool players in your team, you'd have 11 Liverpool players pretty much. But they're playing Southampton this week, so that's a good shout for an Alisson clean sheet. But yeah, I'm quite comfortable with Henderson, I think, as an overall goalkeeper to have and doing that. So you're playing with three defenders just now, or are you playing with four, five?
I really haven't kind of sussed my team out this week. The five choices I've got are Robertson, Van Dijk, Pereira, Leicester, Lindstrom and Doherty.
Cool, so that's Doherty for Wolves, the wing back, yeah. So I've got I've got Alexander Arnold and Robertson, Lindstrom, Sunchu from Leicester and Dunk. I'm currently sitting with three defenders. I'm sitting with Alexander Arnold, Robertson and Lindstrom in the hope of that Sheffield United clean sheet. My only consideration is I'm not going to bring in Sunchu because I don't see Leicester keep a clean sheet. Watch them prove me wrong. But Chelsea do play better away from home, and it is at the King Power, so I'm quite comfortable they won't keep a clean sheet. Dunk against West Ham is potential.
Yeah.
They're at the Olympic Stadium or the London Stadium, or whatever you call it, but it's like a library. I mean, the fact that West Ham were home was probably against West Ham.
Yeah, they've not had good form there since they moved there.
Nah, but I still think Lundstrom's, I'm going to go with three defenders, I think Lundstrom's a better shout than Dunk.
Yeah, so of my five, I think I'll go with four, take the Liverpool two, obviously Robertson and Van Dijk.
Standard.
And I think I'll go with Lindstrom and Doherty.
Cool, man. I mean, I think it's not a bad shout. Man U will be susceptible to attacks for the wing backs. It depends where they've got fit and how they can play in defence as well. So interesting to see.
Yeah, both of them, both Lindstrom and Doherty are good for the odd goal now and again.
Doherty's really good attacking returns, and Lindstrom's just a midfielder, wrongly positioned in fantasy football.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, the Lindstrom thing's going to be interesting to see, as we said earlier, whether Berg displaces him potentially. I don't think he will, but there's still that it's that issue that Lindstrom's contract been up and it's not been re-signed and things. And again, if it was an ideal world, I think Liverpool's your defenders to go for here.
I might even captain Robertson.
It's not a bad shout. I mean, Trent and stuff had some really good big scoring games this week, or this year, sorry.
He's the top. Is he not the top performer
as a defender? I think as a defender he is. I don't think he is as a player overall. I can check and see who it is, the actual overall top scoring player. It's De Bruyne.
Right. That was quick.
Yeah, I've got the website open. I'm a professional amateur podcaster.
I'm not talking about that. He wasn't right up there because he was out for a wee while at the start.
Yeah, he had a couple of games he missed, but Alexander Arnold's the fifth best player score wise. Midfielders,
The five I've got in my team are Madison, Hayden of Newcastle, Traore, De Bruyne and Doucouré.
Traore for Wolves, so yeah.
You can bet your bottom dollar I'll be playing De Bruyne.
Yep.
Even although they're away to Spurs, I still think he's going to assist a couple.
The man can make magic out of nothing. He's been an amazing player this season.
Yeah, Doucouré and Hayden are new additions to my team. Yep. So Watford, Doucouré, they really have turned the form around in the last 2 months.
Yep.
And risen to dead bottom to mid table now. No, they're still about 19th, but
Phoenix from the Ashes, though.
The points they've made up is
a Phoenix from the Ashes is one of the ones. Nigel Pearson's turned it around, beginning and basically saying to them, if he's winning mine playing football, that'd be really good, lads. Like actually showing up and, I don't know, winning some games. That'd be great. and it seems to have worked. That's about it. But I see where you're coming from with the Watford players. I've got Grealish, De Bruyne, Madison and Salah. I've got Fleck in my bench.
That's a fantastic midfield, by the way.
I've got Fleck in my bench because I'm no better. I'll bring in the ex-Rangers player quite happily. apparently £20 million to Arsenal was the big rumour in this transfer window for John Fleck, which is mental.
I really don't know much about the guy. His father was bloody good.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be captaining Salah this week, I think.
And yeah, as I said, it's Robertson for me.
Yep, and I'll be vice-captaining De Bruyne. And again, I've took a hit of -4 this week. I did have Gazzaniga in goals or as a goalie, and I had Mane in my team. I didn't need to get rid of Mane, but I didn't want £12.5 million of dead player for 2 weeks in my team when I could have got good returns for him, and I needed to get Gazzaniga out before his value plummeted.
Yeah.
So situationally it's put me into a -4 this week.
Sorry to interrupt. We playing a head-to-head league, and I've just realised that I hope I'm playing somebody that's not going to listen to this podcast.
If they do, Alex, you'll still win. It's just give them the advantage they need.
You've got more confidence in me than I have.
I know mine just need listening because I'm playing a zombie team that's bottom of the league, so it's fine. again, midfielder-wise, I think that's... the players we've talked about are going to be relatively template players for what you're looking to bring in. Traore's interesting. I've looked at him a few times. His potential. The one player that's kind of been on my radar has been Mahrez, and it's whether or not he gets a continual game.
He's had quite a run.
He's scored a lot of points.
That's likely to stop.
He's scored a lot of points. So we'll see what happens. Traore's coming on to a bit of game, and Traore for $5.8 million, I think, is a really good...
great value for money.
It's good you're getting there.
Unlike the fella for Man City.
Sterling,
yeah, the price is...
$11.7 million. He's not had the greatest season this season. I mean, Sterling's numbers flat to deceive because he's in 115, but it's because he had that hat-trick early in the season and stuff like that really boosted him up. And I think, safe to say, your Salah's, your De Bruyne's, your Grealish's, Madison's, Traore's, these are guys that are looking template just now.
Yep, consistent.
Who have you got up front, lastly, Alex?
Well, the three players in my squad are Abraham, Chelsea, Lacazette and Jimenez. Okay. I think I'm just... well, Abraham looks like he's going to be out this weekend.
Yeah.
Jimenez... I've already got two Wolves players playing, so I'll maybe keep him on the bench as the first choice and go with the one striker, Lacazette, who Arsenal are away to Burnley.
Aye, well, Lacazette hopefully will come into some form. He's not at the greatest, but I think there's strong potential with him, and especially with Arteta is doing a decent job with Arsenal, whether he can turn that decent job into...
I have to disagree results. There. I mean, where are they in the table? I think they're in the bottom half, are they not?
Yeah, but they were in the bottom half because of Emery. I think he's inherited a basket case of a team, and it's just a matter of seeing...
What's ever happened to Ozil?
Ozil's coming in. Ozil's getting played now. It's one of those ones where, well, Arteta get the best out of him. He's had a transfer window now. Whether or not they've been able to properly plan out that transfer window, they've got a director of football when they do, though, so there's a very good chance that it is. But it's going to be interesting to see with Arsenal. I watch it and see, and I suck it and see, sort of thing. I think Arteta will come good. It's very strange that when at the same time Arsenal
obviously have got a history given their manager's time.
Yeah,
you know, so he probably will have that on his side as long as they get out of the bottom half of the league.
Yeah, and I think it's really strange because at the same time Everton signed or brought in Carlo Ancelotti, who's a 3-time Champions League winner, and Arteta get brought into Arsenal. And you look at those two, I still feel that Ancelotti was a much bigger risk of a signing, and I think football has turned upside down this season because of that. But it'll be interesting to see.
Do you think Guardiola is going to stay with Man City?
I've heard rumours that Pochettino will be at Man City next season. But that's the internet. The internet loves a rumour. I don't know. It's all falling apart a bit this season. But we also need to remember, he's still second in the league. He's in the League Cup final. And he's still in the Champions League. That
team plays brilliant football.
And they're in the Champions League as well. So
yeah.
It's probably not as bad as people
make
it. If
he win the
today.
Champions League, he'll stay. I know that.
Well, I don't know. Because is there anything else he can do if he wins the Champions League?
Yeah, he done well. Right enough, when you look at Barcelona and Munich.
Yeah, we never won it. We never won it in Munich. You get a few horrific results in Munich.
The big question I have this week is: will Liverpool have won the title before the end of February?
It's possible. 70 points. I mean, teams have won the league with 75 points, and they're on 70 in January. It's mental.
It is crazy. I mean, what's the gap? 19 points.
It's unbelievable.
Already.
Aye. Like Celtic didn't have that gap when. Like
when Rangers were
in the league, it's like
out of existence.
It's like even Celtic recently went to season undefeated by Brendan, the snake that he is.
Are the bookies offering any odds against Liverpool winning the league?
Aye, mental odds. Like if you can bet it and get it right, you've got to be a rich man. But yeah, going a whole season undefeated is so difficult. And as I say, I've seen my team do it, and it's an awesome feeling to see your team go a full season undefeated.
But to go through a whole season potentially with only one draw.
That's the big thing. People talk about the Invincibles, because I think they drew about 46 games in a 32 game season or something like that.
Yeah, they did have quite a few draws.
But hey, it'll be interesting to see. I hope they do it. I like Liverpool. A lot of people don't. I do like them.
I don't think they'll win all the rest of their games. They're certainly going to win the league, and then after that the pressure's off. So
I don't think they'll win every single one of them, but I don't think they're going to draw a million. I think there's a chance they could do it undefeated. And just to finish off with our choices, my strikers: Calvert-Lewin of Everton fame, excuse me, Danny Ings and Tammy Abraham. If I had some free transfers, I'd have made some changes with them, especially because Ings is against Liverpool. I don't see it. Abraham, I don't see playing, so first on my bench is John Fleck, and I can see John Fleck coming on for him. And that's about it. I mean, strikers just now it's an interesting position.
Well, I had the best one. Well, maybe I think he's the best one, Vardy.
Oh, I got the.
I dropped him from my team like, you know, a hot potato. Wrongly, stupidly.
I rode that Vardy train for those 10 games in a row that he scored, and I loved it. I had a Vardy party every week every time he was scoring.
I think this is the first time I've not had him in my team for about 6 years.
Yeah, but he's came off the boil a wee bit. He's still only 41%, and he's not in the greatest of form. And you look at your other options for strikers, they're not the grandest. They're really, really expensive.
Yeah.
And I've kind of went heavy in the midfielders in my team. And
I think everybody has this season, or everybody who's really doing pretty well.
It's telling that Timo Pukki is still one of the highest scoring strikers in the league. It says a lot.
Right.
And I think that kind of sums up strikers for me this year. And whether or not spending crazy money on them is necessary, I don't feel as though it is. So you're captain in Robbo.
Yeah.
And I'm captain in Salah. So I suppose it's unsurprisingly that we're all in on
Liverpool.
Lovely Liverpool. And we'll see how it goes. And what we'll do is we'll come back next week. We'll let you know how our game week 25 goes. We'll let you know what we scored. We'll see if any of our predictions about any of these transfers comes true as we go. And we'll discuss who we're picking next week. And we'll see if there's any wee sort of gimmicks or games we want to play as part of our podcast. I don't really know what we're going to do yet. Skinny just been put together and getting back
whatever
to
it. Whatever it is, it'll be good.
Whatever it is, it'll be good. It's a strong way to do it. And as I said earlier, just a final mention for Rangers signing Georgie Hadji's son. It reminds me, we've got a trophy for winning the Fantasy League, which is known as the Ali Dyer Award. And for people who don't know the story of Ali Dyer, we picked it because he mugged off Graham Souness. That's why we picked him. Basically, Graeme Souness, when he was managing Southampton, got a phone call for somebody pretending to be George Weah and told him that Ali Dyer was his cousin and he's a really good footballer. And Ali Dyer then got signed by Graeme Souness on that recommendation. It's true.
But I mean, Georgie Hadji suddenly must have 50% his genius, you know.
He came on against, so basically Ali Dyer is one appearance for Southampton. He came on as a substitute for Matthew Letizia after 30 minutes after Tiss got injured, and he got substituted off in the 85th minute.
Letizia,
I think sacked is the word that you would normally use, to be honest with you. I think it was Letizia Seri looked like Bambi on ice or something like that, and it was an embarrassing. He was released by Southampton 2 weeks into his contract, just having a look here, and then he briefly played with non-league Gateshead. So the Ali Dyer award is our league's fantasy football award, because really we all pretend to be football managers on a regular basis and try and pretend that we can do something we really can't, which is manage a football team. And
I'm always surprised when I beat someone.
It's always good, man, but I think it's safe to say that Georgie Hadji's son is considerably better. He's been signed for $4 million. It'll be interesting to see him play in Scotland. As a Celtic fan, I hope that he is as bad as Ali Dyer, and I can laugh my arse off on a regular basis about it, but I don't think that's going to be the case. But anyway,
time will tell.
So we'll be back next week, Thursday or Friday, not sure yet, and we'll have a chat with you. But thanks very much for listening, and we'll speak to you soon.
All the best.